All right, we're going to take a few questions, and then later on we're going to take you through an image expansion, so you'll know how to do it. All right, anytime. All right.
Hi, Alexis.
Hello.
You already answered one of my questions. I was going to ask about technique, but last week I had a fantastic breakthrough, and people could even look at me and see the difference. And within a couple of days, I felt like I lost it. It wasn't a physical manifestation of anything. It was an inner feeling. So I understand that I neglected to do the image changing. Can I get that back, or can I do it differently? I want to go back there. It was a fantastic feeling.
All right. What experience you had, was that of you existing at a more expanded level of yourself?
Yes.
It was freer, it was happier, it was more joyous, it was filled with light. And everyone noticed it because you were simply more radiant. And everybody perceives it. You can perceive a radiant person, even if it's not physically apparent. Everybody's psychic. Everybody picks up that the vibration has shifted, that the person is purer, cleaner, brighter. So you did, yes. Now, it may not have occurred to you. Wow, my image of myself, who I am, is more. You see, and claiming that, owning that. It was like a delightful excursion and adventure into a marvelously magical land, wasn't it?
Yes.
All right. Now, what it was given to you for, your reality gave that gift to you to show you what's possible for you 24/7. And yes, you can get it back. You can get it back. And you're going to get it back way sooner than the long stretch it took to get to there the first time. All right? You didn't lose anything. You just shrank. Mm-hmm. As soon as you expand again, you're going to be there. It's an expanded state. You see?
Mm-hmm.
You notice how during those couple of days, how your perceptions of things were different?
Yes.
You saw through different eyes. You saw through a greater you's eyes. Right? And when you lost it, it was like the third day or whatever, it's like you lost that perspective. You weren't looking through the greater you's eyes. You were looking through your regular you's eyes. Right? The old you. Mm-hmm. The one you were a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's like, well, how did that happen? Now, you can make yourself, in a sense, you can kind of launch and lift yourself into a greater self-image on the spot instantly once you've had an experience like that by remembering the perception, the level of seeing you had, the level of awareness that you had, the filters you looked at your reality through were much softer, much more loving. Did you notice that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, by choice, you can, in your imagination, by using your memory, go right back there and say, okay, I'm going to now deliberately look at my reality through this level, through that higher lens. I looked at people with more love. I looked at people with more love and compassion. I gave people more rope. I didn't take things as personally. I didn't react the same way. See, if you can understand what the attributes or characteristics were of that state, you can remember it, and then you can choose to step into it and reclaim it. You understand?
Yes.
Okay. Why don't you do that right now? Just in your mind, remember how good that felt. Say, this is natural to me, mentally. And step right back in there. You may remember a particular moment when you just felt so happy. All right. Do you see how you're already starting to lift and expand just by remembering it?
Yes.
Now, you may not feel secure in that your ability to be able to stay there. That comes as that security, that knowing comes as you expand your image. And as you expand your image over and over, it'll stretch and it'll shrink a little bit. Don't get disturbed by this. It's just showing you, okay, I went to this border, this boundary, and I experienced this level of high, this level of awareness, and now I'm back at this one. Contrast. You can feel the contrast between the place where you were high and more conscious and more aware to the place where you were less conscious and less aware. And it almost feels like when you come back to that old place, it almost feels tight and imprisoning, doesn't it?
Yes.
It feels like, ick, how did I manage to live so long in this place? It's almost painful to be back in this old place. Now, you were trained through being shamed, being judged, criticized, humiliated, rejected, and all that kind of crap that you had to go through at some point in your life. You were trained to choose pain. You actually were trained to choose the lesser place to be, to shrink. You don't really know how it was done consciously. But you remember when your parents, you know, criticized you and you did a bad job or you did something and you disappointed them? You remember how you felt? Ooh, tidy. You wanted to disappear. Or when you were embarrassed in front of your peers and as an adolescent, ooh, gosh, I just want to go die right now. You were taught how to choose to go to the dark state. To squirm in the dark space. You were taught that by the age of 4, every one of you had gotten it. So, you have to realize that it is also an aspect of choice that you can work with here. What state do you choose to be? What image of yourself do you choose to hold? You were trained that it was appropriate, for some reason, to go and shrink into this lesser person and to kind of, you know, slither around in the shadows for a while until you recovered. Don't ever do that again. You don't have to choose that. Just because somebody looks at you funny, somebody criticizes you, somebody judges you, rejects you, tries to embarrass or humiliate you, you don't have to go there again. You're an adult now. It's choice. You're in choice. You can choose to step instead into loving. Okay? So, part of that high state, Lynn, that you were in, was a state of loving. You were loving. Are you aware of that?
Yes.
You had love and compassion, and you really liked yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You felt good about you, right? Always make that choice to feel good about you. Don't come from the parental point of view, feeling good about you only if you have performed well or achieved a lot. Again, that's giving your power away to external reality. Feel good about you because you're a spiritual being on your homeward path. That you're becoming free that you're becoming more the light being that you are, and you have a grand opportunity at this very moment to make a choice as to who you'd rather be. The little person? Or the big one, big radiant one? Now, we don't want you to take this whole idea about being the big person literally. We knew a woman who her mother said, you know, you've got to be big here. You know, you got to step up to the plate and be mature. You got to be big. And so she did. She swelled out and became obese. I'm a big person. I got big presence. Yeah, she'd walk into a room and she was big. Nobody could miss her. She was radiant, too. But she was big. It took her a while to figure out, oh, I'm being a big person, and I feel that that's what's required to be big. That's the child's view or the adolescent view. You want to get rid of the body concept about it. When we talk about big, we talk about your energy field. It's got to be out to there, big, because you're claiming more of yourself. It's your choice. So whenever you find yourself shrinking, first, love yourself. Then, two, remember where you have in the past felt much better about yourself and how good that was. Three, choose that. In your imagination, in your memory, recall it, step back into it, claim it. And four, expand your image again. Now that's the technique we're going to be giving you shortly. If you'll do that, you won't end up being that little shriveled person anymore. You won't be walking around in fear of criticism, worried that you're going to fail or make a mistake, worried you're going to put your foot in your mouth and embarrass the heck out of yourself. You'll be able to, anytime you make a mistake, to laugh. Physical plane, craziness is happening again. Ha ha. And I choose to love myself. I choose to remember what it's like to be bigger, brighter, more radiant, and more loving. And I choose to step into that and claim that. And I choose to expand my image beyond that now into owning more of the divine that I am. And now let me look back at my life and see what I want to do. And you find people who are very secure in themselves. They can love people. They can love their enemies. Really, they can truly love their enemies. They don't have to fight. And because when you are expanded, you are radiant, it is as if your net energy flow coming into you through your divine self, from higher self into you, is radiating out. And this protects you, essentially, against all sorts of negativity. If you want protection, you've got to be big. You've got to be a broadcaster. You can only broadcast if you can acknowledge the divine within you so that you can receive the divine flow that is part of your nature, that is set up in your energy bodies for your sustenance. And you can do that. Now, Lynn, you can also have other experiences, other meditations. You can go over that meditation again from last week. Mm-hmm. And you can do things to help trigger, to bring the memory of it back, to bring the expansion back, to help yourself to do clearing and to get new perspectives and so on. And this will bring it back too. Okay?
Thank you.
All right. All right, who's next?
Thank you, Daniel. Hi, Galexis.
Hello.
My name is Ty. I just did I'm loving this. Thank you so much. And seeing how important the image work is and where I have worked with it and particularly where I haven't. And I was just reviewing my entire life as you were talking about parents and childhood.
And oh, you're fast.
And it was fascinating. I just drew out a chart of sort of where my self-image was from the time I was born to parents who I just realized within the last, really the last 6 months, it's been over many, many years, but just really got amazingly clear feedback from both my parents, they're still alive, in interactions with them, that they literally do not and cannot and will not see who I am or value right. or appreciate. They'll interact, we'll have, but they will not still, which is astonishing to me.
They still see you. At what age do you think they still see you?
It's almost not even at what age. It's almost like they don't. They see past me. They don't even see. It's like I'm invisible.
Mm. Oh, well, that's because you've so outgrown them. They don't know who you are anymore.
Right.
So they try vainly to project an image onto you, hoping that you will conform to it and make them feel safe.
And I haven't done that since about...
That's right.
Around 19, things started opening and changing.
So they don't feel terribly comfortable with you.
Right.
So they're just going to, you know, they're going to give you their disapproval in hopes that you'll shrink back to where you're manageable again.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and that fits with the graph, the chart that you were talking about a graph earlier. I just drew a chart of where my self-image and my valuing of myself was, and it was, I don't even remember much about childhood, but I know it was very low,
mm-hmm.
and then it went even lower in high school, where I was so shy that it was just
right. Isn't
painful.
Isn't that adolescence can be a drag?
Oh my God!
Golly, you really get
years ago when I really felt suicidal, I wanted to kill myself. The reason I didn't was because I realized I'd have to come back and do high school again.
Very good, very good.
I played it out and I said, okay, I'll come back. Hopefully I'll choose better parents. Oh my God, that means I have to go through high school again. In my suicidal depression, I burst out laughing, saying, no, I can't do that.
Good for you. You got a good perspective on that one, yes.
Yeah. It changed the course of my future dramatically. So from the painful shyness in high school that was just brutally painful, then in college I started to discover a sense of who I am, my sense of humor and my interest in my own mind and growth, and I started to discover spirituality, and then found that as just the passion, which is why neither one of my parents can really relate.
And right. Well, what was the last age that you were manageable for them? Do you think? Where was that place where you left, where you burst free? That was late adolescence, wasn't it? Early adulthood?
Because I was really small in high school, so I was just sort of part of the structure of the family, and very, very small, and so insignificant.
That was, nicely manageable then.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah.
And didn't create waves.
Yeah, right, right. So you had to go to college or something? Did you go to college?
Yeah, so college I started to discover.
All right.
And then I found metaphysics and
And they
that,
lost you then.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I discovered me.
That's right.
Which was awesome. And so I've been doing this amazing roller coaster since finding Lazarus 30 years ago, along with you and Daniel at that very first, we were talking last week about
That's
the very
right.
first intensive. Since then, I have just absolutely loved the exploration of me, my mind, my metaphysics, my spirituality. And working with the future is just my whole life's passion now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had probably more than a dozen opportunities to be massively visible with my work with the future and share it with the world, which is kind of like what the world needs, a brighter future.
Yes.
And each time the opportunities have shown up have been incredibly exciting, and then either just diminished, not quite something has. So I've stepped into the image of the the visibility where I really get to contribute to the future of the world. And I love that. And that's what I'm here to do. And I know that.
Right.
And then I back out of it and just sort of sort of continue on. And I'm so sick of this roller coaster.
Aren't you, though?
God.
Yes.
So I would love your insight and your help.
Well, it's really interesting that you talked about how dreadful high school was, because there you were kind of the wallflower. You were the shy one.
Totally.
And so visibility for you meant humiliation.
Total.
And rejection.
Yeah.
Okay? So visibility got anchored into your consciousness as a totally scary place to go.
Yes.
No, I don't want to be visible. I don't want to be visible. It's too scary. It's too threatening. It's too devastating.
Yes.
All right. So what we sense is that your adolescent self is still there. And every time you go into a great opportunity with visibility in there, your adolescent self, your internal adolescent self, just panics. Mm. And this panic, which at first is exciting, there's an excitement. That's the positive side of a fear. Is fear is a very high excitement energy.
The adrenaline.
The adrenaline, yeah. Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. Da, 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 da. And as soon as excitement comes up, for the adolescent, it means fear. Uh-oh. I'm going to do something stupid. I'm going to, somebody's going to point me out. They're going to look at me. And I look in the mirror and I still don't like what I see particularly. So other people are going to judge me on what I look like and what I wear what I say and how I say it. Oh my gosh, I don't think I can go there. And that's your adolescent. And he will pull you, shrink you back down. And that's what happened.
Yeah, and it's making so much sense. The contrast. I spoke in Toronto on a stage with Greg Braden and Colin Andrews and people, and it was broadcast out over the internet last November, talking about 2012, and it was so much fun, and I so loved it, and was received beautifully. There were people with tears in their eyes when they touched their future, and. So that excitement is, it's amazing to me as I was drawing this chart, listening to your sort of view of the whole, and as I was looking, drawing the graph and seeing the shyness and the pain of the shyness almost couldn't have been deeper when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
The joy now when I do get to speak in big opportunities and visibility and get to touch is mm-hmm. is immeasurable. It's just wonderful. So the contrast between how low it was
yes.
and how high it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying about the high, I know I love the high now and I'm comfortable with it, and I love speaking in any size
right.
group.
So now you know that the next time you get another wave of this.
Yes.
Because it's coming. You know. Another visibility opportunity, another wave of success comes your way. You know how to prepare now. You know to go to your adolescent self, your internal adolescent, that old image of you that is so emotionally anchored in there, and to go to him and say, look, you don't have to come along. Okay? You can go and have a successful adolescence, and you can give him a dream that he enters into where he's happy, he's loved, and he belongs in adolescence.
Oh, yes.
And I will just neutralize that pain that he was suffering, that isolation, and let him just be loved. And he doesn't have to be super popular, but he can
right.
he can have fun, and he have good friends that won't betray him, and nobody gossiping about him, and he's just going to have so much fun, just so much fun. And he can be irresponsible. Remember, he's an adolescent.
Yes.
You know, let him do stupid stuff and have a really good time and not pay any price for stupid stuff.
Right.
Okay? You know, he can go off on a drunken binge, right?
Uh-huh.
And just have a great time. Let him be an adolescent. But keep him out of your adult life. Make an agreement with him. He's going to stay there. And you are going to go on. Because you're bringing you. All of you, all of your identities, all of those parts of you, you're bringing them home.
Yes.
And he wants to go home so bad.
Yes. Into the love.
Into the love.
To the safety.
Into the love and the safety and the power and the freedom. He wants to be there. He wants to be in the oneness.
It's and so beautiful the way you said that. I could feel the I love now being visible. It's just like,
right.
He doesn't have to do that.
He doesn't have to be
and
there.
He doesn't want
get
to.
Him
he
out of the way.
He wants to be comfortable. He wants to be able to stand up in front of the class and say a few things and feel comfortable, feel okay, and not get so embarrassed that is literally. I stood in front of my English class and. Literally, my it was like I was crying. My eyes started to water. I was so horribly embarrassed, just trying to speak about a poem that, and I had no clue what the poem meant or, and it was so embarrassing that it was worse than death. It would have been
all right. So you can also take him to that event and
yes.
change it for him.
Yes.
So that he speaks with passion and his wisdom comes through, and everybody is like, oh wow. You know,
yes.
You can do that. And then afterwards, he and his friends go and play, you know, do something.
And there's a subtlety in there. I've actually done that. I've gone back with it because that was one of the most painful moments of my entire life. So I have gone back, and I did go in and like rewrite it, but it wasn't healed. It wasn't finished.
No, because the identity wasn't healed. That's why you take your adolescent self. And this is good for all of you. These questions are fantastic. So there's a part of you that still identifies with who you were at 16 or 19 or 27 or whatever it is, that you just seem to always shrink back to that time, that self. You can always take that self into meditation and give them the perfect life for that age, for their vision and imagination then. Okay? And we recommend it anyway to do that as part of your personal growth, as part of developing your image, is to go and take these former selves that have such strong identities and are so limiting for you, to give them a perfect life, give them their fantasy life fulfilled, and get them out of you, out of your life, out of you, the adult life, so that you can go onward. It's a wonderful point you made. Thank you.
So maybe there's something there with that disconnect with him that in helping him, I don't know, just as you were saying it there, to give him permission, he doesn't have to be visible the way I want to be and I enjoy.
No, he
has to be his.
Yes. He has to be happy.
Yes.
He has to be safe.
Yes.
He has to feel his greatest fantasy, and you'll know what that is.
Yes.
Right? His greatest fantasy is fulfilled. And he's going to have stars in his eyes. It's just so, so wonderful.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
But you want to make sure that not only give him permission to stay there, but tell him that he must stay there for the two of you, for the homegoing that both of you are doing. He's got to be there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I see.
It's in a sense, his job, because in a sense, he's been trying to protect you.
Right.
So every time you get visible, he wants to come and protect you. Oh, no, something horrible is going to happen. Come back, come back, come back.
Right.
Hide in the shadows.
Scared for him. He's scared for me.
Oh, yes, he's scared for you. He's trying
yes.
to protect you.
Yes.
So what you want to do is to say, you don't have to do that job anymore. Instead, this is your job, is to be happy so that we can go on and we can return to the divine so we can be full and complete. And one,
yes.
right? And so you say, now you stay there, and I'm going to, maybe I'll come back and visit you a bit, but I'm going to go on for us.
Yes.
Don't come back into my life anymore. Don't come to protect me. I will take care of it. I have resources you don't even know about. So I can take care of me. So reassure
that's
him.
That's great. Yes.
Now, we did a love and healing on this particular topic. We don't remember what we called it as the title, but
on the healing the adolescent, you mean?
Right, healing the younger selves, so
yes.
that they're out of your future, so
yes.
they're out of your path.
Yes,
and that because you're taking them home,
but not sitting right next to me, or not going to the next speaking thing that I'm doing, but taking them home, but from their place.
Yeah, yeah, taking them and letting them be where they are.
Yes,
right,
yes.
and. It's always fun if you have the free child, for example, the unfettered child, the one who's not shamed and all weirded out. You know, he can accompany you on a nice, you know, you're driving somewhere. He can sit in the passenger seat and,
yes,
you know, and enjoy the view and all that. But that's not what we're talking about.
Right.
We're talking about the wounded one,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The wounded one needs to be healed there.
Yeah.
And stay out of your life.
Wonderful. And can you, because I am impatient, like you said, faster, and I loved when you said we created time so we could do it faster and then get stuck in the roller coaster so it doesn't happen so fast. But to open to the contribution with my future visioning work, with is there a suggestion that you would give how to work with that image? I can see I need to go through Lazarus's image process and really expand that image of me, mm-hmm, contributing and being 20 feet tall and massive aura and contributing to the world. Is there something else that you see in me that would empower and help that process?
Well, that's what we're going to do in the meditation.
Awesome.
It's going to be just right for you.
Cool.
Thank you, dear one, for
Thank
your
you,
questions.
Alexis.
You're
Very
certainly
much.
Welcome. And we don't have time for more questions. We apologize. This could be a whole day's workshop, and we would love to have heard all the rest of your questions. If you feel inclined, you can write your questions down and perhaps we can do something with them later and so forth. But if you find that interesting, maybe want to contribute.